Let us pray to Jesus, who is our shepherd, who knows us, who loves us, who is for us. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ, to show us that you truly love us and that you are for us and always with us. Help us to hear your voice, to trust in your love, and to follow you wherever you call. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Have you ever been reading a book, and you're reading the book, and it seems like kind of a boring passage, so you skip over a little bit, or you don't read as closely, and then you get to a part where there's something a bigger happening, and you realize that you missed something, that there was something earlier that you've missed in the reading, and so you go back, and then you figure, oh, it all makes sense now. You go back and you find that detail that makes everything makes sense. I think for the scripture passage that we have before us today in the gospel lesson, the very first lines of this gospel lesson say that it's the Feast of the Dedication. It's winter, and Jesus is in Solomon's colonnade. And for us as Christians, we don't know much about the Feast of Dedication. But this Feast of Dedication was one of the more recent rituals and religious observations that the Jews had, celebrating when Judas Maccabees freed Jerusalem from those who were holding it in oppression. About the 2nd century BC, after Alexander the Great, the leader that conquered Jerusalem of that area, Antiochus Phinehas, he took the temple of Jerusalem. He took all of the religious things out of the temple, and then he even set up a shrine to foreign gods and offered sacrifices there in God's temple. This is the abomination that made the Jews crazy. And so a man, Matthias, and his three sons, one who was Judas Maccabees, went into Jerusalem, and they raised an army, and they drove out the oppressing army and restored the temple, the sanctuary, the tabernacle, back to the home of the one true God. Part of this story is that Judas Maccabees only had oil to light his lamp for one day, and yet, a miracle, the lamp stayed lit for 8 days. And so that's why the Feast of the Dedication is also known as Hanukkah, and they always light the candles, the Jews do, to remember how God restored the temple to Jerusalem through the hands of Judas Maccabees. So imagine, if you will, all right, they're celebrating this Festival of Lights, the Feast of Dedication. This great man, Judas Maccabees, came and restored the Jerusalem to the Jews, and they asked Jesus, right there in the temple, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And so I wonder if in the eyes and the minds of the people that were with Jesus celebrating this Feast of Dedication, they're saying, all right, Jesus, when are you going to come in glory, right? Riding on a mighty stallion with light in your hands to drive out the Romans. Do you think that's what they were asking? Thinking about it, it's been 165 years, maybe closer to 200 years, since the great last military leader was able to drive out the enemy from Jerusalem. That's what they were hoping for. That's what they were longing for. But Jesus, he responds by saying, I did tell you, but you did not believe. All the miracles I do in my Father's name, they speak for me. And so here in John chapter 10, we've had Jesus, casting out demons. He gave sight to the blind man Bartimaeus. He did other miracles to show that he was who he said he was. Miracles that pointed that he was the Christ. But did the Jews believe in those signs? It's not what they wanted. It's not what they were looking for. It's not what they were hoping for. And I think this kind of gives me the thought that faith is not a primarily a lack of understanding or knowledge, but really the lack of faith is a problem of pride. Jesus is here. He comes. He offers himself. He performs miracles and signs. Will you receive that? Will you recognize that Jesus is who he said he is? For the Jews of this day, they rejected him. In fact, many times in many places, people have rejected Jesus, not because of who he is, but because of what we want, what we think. We say, God, if you will only do this, God, I need this. And if that doesn't happen, we refuse to acknowledge God. Pride gets in the way of recognizing Jesus as Lord, because Jesus comes as he is, and he says, lay it all aside, your thoughts, your dreams, your wants, follow me. There's a surrendering that happens when we follow Jesus that he demands. Follow me, he says. Jesus says, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. There's something that happens that before we can believe, we become Jesus' sheep. You know, Robin was talking about the waters of baptism, that when that water is poured in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, something happens. God creates a sheep out of a child, a lamb out of one who was born into sin. God does something. What makes it so hard is Paul describes in Ephesians that they and the people of this world are darkened in our understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. The Jews of Jesus' day, their hearts were hardened. They weren't able to see and recognize what stood before them. Before we give them too hard of a time, one of my favorite things during the week is I get to meet with two small groups, and we're studying the Word of God in a discipleship process on Wednesday afternoons and Thursday nights. And one of these last few weeks, we had this discussion. If we were around when Jesus was doing all his miracles, would we have recognized him? If we would have been there about our every life and we would have heard about Jesus, everything that he was doing, would we have known that he was God's son? Or would our hearts have been hardened and we would have just been about going our everyday life? Or if we would have heard Jesus say, come, follow me, leave everything, follow me, would we have said, I got to do this or I got to do that or not right now, Lord? How would we have responded? Maybe it would have taken a miracle. Maybe it would have taken a great sign to help us to believe. And that's what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. People become sheep because God acts. God sent his son to this world who died on the cross. His lifeless body was placed in the tomb and God raised him from the dead. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That was half-hearted. All right, God's going to act. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That changes us. The good news that the tomb is empty. God acts on our behalf. This is how the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel says. Let's read this together. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Who's doing all the work in this passage? God is. God's saying, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh that can do this, that can follow my decrees, that can keep my laws. They will be my people, my sheep, and I will be their God. I will be their shepherd. And so when we look at the cross, Jesus describes himself as the Lamb of God In our book passage from Revelation, Jesus is both the lamb and the shepherd. And I think about Jesus as a lamb. His shepherd was his father. And whatever his father, his shepherd asked him to do, Jesus did it. Because he knew that in following and obeying his father's commands, he would bring God's glory. And that's what Jesus lived for. And he challenges us, will you do the same thing? When you hear my voice, to deny yourself, to pick up your cross and follow me, will you surrender? Or will you allow your heart to get hardened? Will you place me first, or will you stay full of your pride and pursue the desires of your heart? Jesus says this, my sheep, they listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So maybe today you're wondering, am I a sheep? Are you a sheep? And I want to tell you this good news, that if you turn your eyes and listen with your ears to Jesus, and if when he speaks, you are drawn, there's something moving within you to listen and to follow you, that's a sign that God's already done something in you, that you are a sheep pursuing your shepherd. But if you come here and just like, oh, whatever, I'm just going, you know, just listen. Let Jesus be your shepherd, because when you follow him, he gives life. I'm going to close with these two last promises today, that this good news is that Jesus says he knows us. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. You might be here today, and you might say, nobody else really knows me. I'm afraid to show myself to people. Will they judge me? Will they accept me? Will they love me? Jesus says, I love you for who you are. I died for you even while you were dead in your sin. Jesus says, I know you and I love you. Follow me. Jesus also gives eternal life. He says, no one, nothing in this world can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Doesn't that give you peace? Knowing that God's got you. God's got you in the palm of his hand. Nothing can snatch you out of his Father's hand. And so today, may we remember our good shepherd who listened to the voice of his Father. He died, but God raised him up. May we too surrender our will, following Jesus, knowing that God will raise us up. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for being our good shepherd. Help us to be sheep, your sheep, who hear your voice, whom you know, and who follow you. Lord, with all the other voices in this world, with all the other competing desires and priorities, even our own pride, oh Lord, help us to surrender all and lay it at the foot of the cross. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, change us. Replace our heart of stone with a heart of flesh, that we may follow and obey, serving and loving even as you have done so for us. Lord, let us be your sheep, leading others to follow our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. At this time, we have a great opportunity as his sheep, whom God has entrusted everything and provided everything that we have, to give freely to him. Our offering is gathered. Also, this is a time where we want to celebrate that we are coming together. And so at the end of each pew is a friendship booklet. If you can sign that and pass that down, just to say that you're worshiping with us today, we'd appreciate that. Thank you.